Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, God. Thank you for getting us here. Thank you for the beautiful snow. Even though many of us are probably over winter, it's just a good reminder, God, of your word that says, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And God, we just thank you for your loving kindness to us. Thank you for getting us here safely. And I just pray that each lady here just has just a good restful and good fellowship and just time thinking about who you are and your goodness, God. And I pray that as I speak, that it would be your words that would stick in the brains of those listening, God, and that each person that leaves would just take one little nugget of just how good you are, God, and that you are sovereign and you are wise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so good morning. It's so good to be with you. I brought pictures of my family. Our daughter got married this summer, Clara, to Harrison Queen. They met, they knew each other when they were little in here at Bethany, and youth group got closer, and here they are. And then, so Clara and Harrison, and that's my husband Warren, and our son Adam, who's a freshman in college, and our son Will, who just recently graduated from college. So that's my family, and this is my dog. My kids don't like me to show their pictures anymore, so of course my camera is more of the dog. That's Roscoe. He's 5. He barks at every little sound in the neighborhood, which is annoying, but the good thing is I play Christian music really loud in my house so he doesn't hear the noises outside. So that's my trick for my dog. Anyway, so I'm going to start with a story. And once upon a time in a land not so far away, but it was quite a ways ago, there was a little girl. And her parents had waited and waited for her longer than they wished. And as she grew, she did well in school. She was obedient. She had a strong conscience. And she was, as she was growing, she was looking towards her happily ever after. And then she went to college. She got to a great university. She thrived there. And while she was there, she learned about the gospel and how she was a sinner who needed a savior. And she embraced that. And she was thriving in fellowship with other believers and thriving in academics. And she left that college ready to conquer the world. And she was looking towards her happily ever after. And she got a job at a great school district, and she poured her heart into that classroom. And she was established at church, and she helped with their retreats, and she was thriving and always working really hard towards that happily ever after. And wouldn't you know, even though it was later than many of her friends, she finally met her Prince Charming, and they were married. And they both had great jobs, and they both were thriving in friend group and going to church, and they were both looking towards that next step in the happily ever after. And it happened so much sooner than they thought. And they went on a great trip to land far, far away, and then they returned. And as she went to that appointment, to that sonogram, not knowing the importance of inviting her husband along to that appointment, she found out at that appointment that she had something called a molar pregnancy. And I'm not going to go into details for time of what that is, but because of that, they had to wait longer to try to conceive again. And so in her life, which is my life, that was the first big trial of suffering. Sorry, and I also will warn you that when I'm happy, I cry, when I'm sad, I cry, and when I'm sick, I cry. So I'm a crier. My kids just roll their eyes, so just know that that's just how I am. I'm just wired to crying. So, but as I look back on my life, I'm so thankful to have had the gospel shared with me, but it really took a while, I think, until I was really in God's word. It was being in God's word and learning more about him that I've really been able to understand that the happily ever after that we all are searching for is eternal life with the Lord. And his book is where we're going to find truth about who God is and that he is wise, and that he is sovereign, and he is sovereign in big things and little things, and that nothing that happens in our lives has not been sifted through his hands. We can trust that everything that happens in our lives, that he has sifted that through his loving hands, and that he can redeem and he can restore that. And so I hope that when you leave, at least that is the big thing that you're taking away, is looking towards eternity, setting our minds on things above, and trusting God. There's a book that I read a year ago or so, and the author, Jackie Hill Perry, wrote a book called, I believe it's Holier Than Thou. It just came to my mind, and her premise is, God is holy, therefore God cannot sin. Therefore, God cannot sin against me, so I can trust him. So I pray that as you leave today, know that you can trust God. And so today we're going to look, and I'm going to be not probably dwelling on every slide, but just looking at the glasses that we use when we look at the world. We can use the world's glasses and the lies of the world, Satan, our thoughts. And the world can be a worldly way of looking because we do have sin in our hearts. Even those of us that have the Holy Spirit, that we have confessed that we need Jesus and we believe that God, that Jesus is God's son and that he was raised from the dead, we still have thoughts that are not biblical thoughts. That's why we have to be in his word so that we can train our minds on things above. And so then we have to put on the biblical viewpoint, put on God's glasses, and that's found in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit is our help. And we need the body of Christ. We need the church. That's something in recent months that has so washed over me is the importance of being in fellowship with other believers so that we can encourage one another in God's truth. So we have to be prepared for the battle. And I'm not going to go into Ephesians 6 in depth. I don't have time, but we just have to be prepared because either we're not in a storm or a difficult time, but we're probably going to be going into one at some point. So we're either not in it, we're headed towards one, we're in one, or we're coming out of one. And sometimes things can be simultaneous. And as I drove here, I was thinking, you know, just a few days ago, it was so warm. I think it was Wednesday. I taught all day. I substitute taught. And I came home and I thought, I didn't know it was supposed to be 60 degrees. And then here we are with snow. So life can change so quickly, right? The world is a picture of what can go on in our lives. So we have to be prepared. We have to prepare with God's word and prepare with working on a relationship at knowing God and knowing who he is. And so today we're just going to look at a few lies of the world and what God's word says about who God is. So one lie of the world is God isn't good to you. He doesn't love you. And this started as we look in Genesis in the garden when the snake came and said, God isn't good. He was trying to tempt Eve and Adam in that God isn't good, that God gave them boundaries, and Satan is trying to tell them that those aren't goodness, that God isn't good. But over and over in Scripture, I mean, I could spend all day talking about the Scripture that talks about God's goodness, his steadfast love. So over and over, God's Scripture teaches us about his goodness. Another lie of the world is that God needs to fix this. And then it's that we shouldn't have problems. But we will have problems. We will have pain. The Bible, Jesus said that in the New Testament over and over, that we will have trouble and problems and pain. But God's word also shows his compassion, his comfort, that suffering is purposeful, and it will ultimately be for our good and for God's glory. That God is here to comfort me, to grow me, and to lead me through the suffering. And I mean, we could do all kinds of Bible studies on Joseph and Ruth and so many lives in the Bible that God, there was suffering in their lives, but we can see how God's purpose was strong through that. So we can trust that God does have a reason and a purpose for that. other lies of the world, that we can achieve whatever we dream. I can overcome my suffering. I am the change agent. So many people like, this is a problem I have to fix. I've heard that from people in my inner circle. But truth from God's word is that God uses suffering to draw us to him, and he changes our hearts as we seek his help, as we seek his wisdom in God's word, and as we watch him carry us through hard things in ways little and big. I have found myself at times, at a hospital with a loved one. And I'm so thankful for St. Francis Hospital and the scripture that is all over their hospital. That is a small way that I've seen God carrying me. And I've seen him protect. I've seen him provide through doctors and nurses. In ways that it's a miracle. And I'm just, so we can trust, I encourage you to look for ways that God is carrying you and your loved ones. Another lie is if my circumstances were different, I would be different. But the truth is that every circumstance that touches my life has been filtered through God's loving control. And the life of Joseph found in Genesis is strong with that. And Joseph says to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So even when people hurt us or hurt our loved ones, God can redeem, restore, and turn that around just like he did in the life of Joseph. Some lies of the world. Oh, and comparison. Comparison is so rampant these days with social media. Looking on social media, and when we do that, we see what that person has chosen to show of their outer life, and we're comparing that with our inner life, and we know every working going on in our life, and that is not a correct comparison at all. And so some lies are, I shouldn't have to suffer, this isn't right, it isn't fair. Look at others who they aren't doing right and they are not suffering. And I'll have to share that when I was grieving that molar pregnancy, there was one of my former students who was in high school and pregnant, and I thought, Lord, this isn't right, this isn't fair. We were more established, we were ready, we were married, and that was not a biblical way for me to think of that, but that was what came out of my thoughts. So we just have to draw ourselves back into God's word, which says that we will have troubles on earth, but we have a compassionate God who loves us, and his ways are not our ways. And we can trust what he's doing in our life and in the lives of others, and I can trust him, and that suffering will give me greater intimacy with God. And I was also convicted that that other person that I was thinking, that person was suffering too, and so that was showing how I needed to be compassionate towards that other person as well. Another lie, God won't give me more than I can handle, which sometimes then is like, well, I have what it takes to get through this. I can do this. Or that God only gives me trials depending on how I can handle them. But the truth is, God's word says that he is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't handle any of these things that this scripture is talking about. None of us can, but God uses our trials and allows our trials, gives us our trials that are harder than we can handle so that we can look to him to be our help. And sometimes in the day after day, you just think this trial is never going to end. And I remember those young days, and I encourage you, don't compare your what today's trial is for you. Don't compare that to other people. Like, I know a trial is when I have young kids and I don't get sleep. That's a trial, because I don't know about you, but I'm grumpy if I don't sleep. So don't think, oh, this seems so minor. Other people are going through harder. Don't compare your suffering, because my hard is hard. Today's hard is hard, right? So just look to God, which isn't easy. I want to say too, like when you are in suffering, for what I've noticed in myself and other people is that when we are in suffering, we feel like we have to put on a happy face. Like I'm the happy together little Christian because I have such great faith. But that's not what God is expecting of us. God is expecting us to draw to Him. It's okay if we don't put on a happy face, if that's not how we're feeling. We don't have to share the inner workings of what's going on with everyone. It's not for me to blast all over the world unless to everyone my sufferings, because a lot of times my sufferings involve other people, so I have to be sensitive to them and their privacy. But just make sure you've got people in your inner circle to encourage you, that you can share with, but don't heap guilt on yourself thinking, I don't have enough faith. I wouldn't be feeling this if I didn't have enough faith, because that is a lie also. God is compassionate. He's comforting. His word says He knows our frame. He knows we are but dust, that we are but clay. And He is there for us to comfort us, to guide us, and direct us. So here are a few tools. It's not exhaustive, but God gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us His word in the Bible. The packet that I printed for you has some information about lament, which we find all over Psalms. So that's something you could look into, praying or working on our time with God and our relationship with God. Being an active member of a theologically sound church. So being around the body of Christ, being somewhere where you're hearing truth taught, being around people who know truth. Being part of a Bible study group. That year that we had the Mueller pregnancy, I started at Community Bible Study, and the combination of that and Bethany Bible studies, I've done some personal Bible studies with close friends in my house. Just Bible studies, so like fellowshipping with other women and studying God's Word together knits us together like nothing else. That and prayer. And I've been part of Moms in Prayer, so if you ever have that opportunity as well, it's a great way to battle the spiritual battle and to knit our hearts together with sisters in Christ. And fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship music. I love to play WBNH or my music on Spotify that I like to listen to. Listening and reading theologically sound authors' books, their podcasts. And sometimes we do need to get extra help, professional help in Christian counseling or going to a physician. So God is so gracious to give us so many tools and resources to help us. So I'm going to just use this example. So this was an example that I went through when my youngest was young, and he was very delayed in speech, went through speech therapy. So this is a trial that maybe a young mom might have with a child. So I kind of have three parts in these charts. So name the trial and what you worry about. So my child is delayed in speech, and my tendency is, what have I done wrong to cause this? Because that's where I go to first, which is not a right way of thinking, right? Because not the problems in our kids are not always because of what we've lacked. And then I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind spirals to the future. Then, is this going to make life hard for him? Is he going to be able to, make it through school? Is he going to graduate? Is he going to have a job? And the worrying of, am I the only one? It's got to be me. It's got to be me and my husband to help him. We're the difference. But then the middle column is, okay, what am I functionally believing when I have these worries? Now, I don't want you to feel bad if you have these worries. I think we all have these worries. So we just have to think about what this is saying about how we're thinking. And so we're functionally believing that it's my fault, that I have control, that it's up to me. I must find the way to make this better. that I'm not trusting God to lead us to a solution. Now, I'm not saying that we're not part of the solution, because we are, as moms, right? God uses us to find ways to help our kids. So we can go to God's word, and we know from God's word that God is writing our child's story. He's also writing our story, right? And that this trial has been sifted through his loving hands. That we need to seek God, and it's also an opportunity to point our kids to seek God. And years ago, I had the privilege to listen to Tony Evans as he spoke in person talking about preparing our kids for the storms to come. And so you, even now when they're so little, you can still be teaching them about God's attributes, that he is in control, that we can trust him. So teaching our own kids through their suffering to look to God. So we need to seek God, and we also need to point our child to God, and that God will place people and resources on our path to help my child. And I will never forget, in first grade, my son, there was a Christmas concert, and he had been given, we were at Puri Christian School, and he had been given a very long verse at Christmas time to recite, and he recited it, and just the joy in my heart at looking back at how God had placed people and resources on our path and had grown him to that. That's something I won't forget. On your table, I put a note card for you. This is from a friend of mine, Alice Craig, and it's called In His Grip, and it's full of scripture, and it is always just an encouragement to me. In fact, I keep a picture of it on my phone to encourage myself and to encourage other people with God's word. And so God's hand is reaching down, and then there's somebody's hands, like one hand's limp, the other one's trying to reach for him. But it's just beautiful scripture that can assure us and remind us that we are in his grip and how much God loves us. So, and then she's got some type of a beautiful story on the back. And she has a website if you're ever interested in looking at those. So kind of to wrap up. So as we look towards the happily ever after, it is really the eternal, the new heaven and new earth one day that we, those of us who believe in Jesus, can be part of. That is truly the ever after, that focusing on eternity and eternal things, the spiritual things of our world, is what will get us through the suffering. And we need to train our minds, and we need to give ourselves grace when we're having a pity party day. We all have those, and it's okay to splurge on yourself if it's in the budget, and to just sit for a while with a hot cup of tea or a latte, and just give yourself a little bit of respite. But as you do that, I encourage you to dig into God's word, because it is a healing balm for our souls. And I'm going to end with 1 Peter 1:3-7. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as you have your group discussion, one possibility is to talk through trials that maybe you or our loved ones have gone through, and to practice this chart. There's also a chart at the back of your packet. I have some books there listed. Trusting God is a great book. There's a newer version of it that I have coming in the mail, but this I've read this 4 or 5 times in the last 20 years. Lies Women Believe by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is a good one. Paul David Tripp, his book on suffering is a good book. And then God Is Still Good, that's where I made up my chart I got the idea from that book. And then if you sometimes don't know how to pray for friends or family who are suffering, a great book, and this is listed on there, is I'm Praying for You, and it lists scripture and specific ways to pray for someone who is suffering, and that has been a blessing to me. And then it's not on, I forgot to put it on your list, but this morning I thought of this book, Heaven by Randy Alcorn, just really helps us to learn truth about eternal life and eternity with God and the new heaven and earth one day. And it's very scriptural. So it's Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And there's also a good book called Heaven for Kids that has a lot of answers that kids and adults have questions about heaven, that is a good book as well. So, but I'm going to pray and then you can have your discussion time. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each lady here, God, and I just thank you for how you are writing their story and their family's story for your glory, God, and for their good. And I just pray that you would help them walk through any times of suffering, God, and that they that you would just in great ways, in ways big and small, show them how you are carrying them, God. And I just thank you for the moment's ministry and just pray a blessing over it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.